All right, thank you, Trevor. As Trevor said, this is the same text as this morning. Where am I going to go after Saji talking about women's knickers this morning? Could be interesting. So this was a letter that was sent by the prophet Jeremiah, who was in Jerusalem, to the elders who were in exile. So this is the backdrop. God wanted the Israelites to be his people, and he delivered them out of Egypt. And he made a covenant, an agreement that he would be their God and they would be his people. And in that covenant, he gave them a place of their own to live, which was Israel. And he asked them to live in a certain way, following certain laws and traditions that helped them to stay close to him. But in time, the people forgot. Generations passed, and the daily grind of life took over, and going to temple became something that they just did once a week and wasn't necessarily something that was taking over their lives as it should have been. And they were putting other things in place of God. And they took God's protection for granted as well, his protection of the Israelite people. And God sent many warnings, and they ignored him. They said, no, we're quite happy. We're doing fine here, thank you. And in the end, God said, well, I'm going to take my protection away from you. And that's what he did. And because of that, King Nebuchadnezzar led the Babylonian army into victory over the Israelites. And all the important people, the people who had educations and skills, they were taken into Babylon, and the rest of the people were left in Jerusalem, but Jerusalem was destroyed. But the Israelites cried out in anguish, this is the end, there is nothing left for me. And then when they heard the letter that was sent to them from Jeremiah, stay and work for the peace and prosperity of Babylon. Don't blame the situation on Babylon and long to leave. Transform where you already are. You can imagine what they thought. What? God, they're pagans. Are you kidding me? They eat pork. They worship idols. They hadn't been so perfect themselves back in their own place. But God says, no, I'm not going to take you home yet. I want you to settle down. I want you to build houses. I want you to plant gardens. And when the planting's finished and the season has come, you're to eat of those things that you planted and eat the harvest. I want you to marry and have children. And I want your children to marry. God wasn't planning for them to leave anytime soon. But most of all, what God said to them was, seek the peace and prosperity of the land to which I have carried you into exile. But what he also says is, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now the Israelites had been taken from their comfort zone into a hostile environment. They didn't relate to their new culture, and they had to learn a whole new way of worshipping God, being God's people in the place where he'd put them, rather than their comfortable place of Israel, of Jerusalem. In Exodus 21, it says, I will dwell among you. And this is God saying, you don't need the Holy of Holies and the temple for me to dwell among you. I am among you, even when you're in Babylon. And in Babylon, they would have to live out what it meant to be God's people. And God said, in 70 years, so not in this generation, I will take you home. And at that time, you will call upon me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. God didn't want them to live waiting to go home, never unpacking their clothes or cooking utensils, not getting married, living in temporary accommodation like refugees, living in a ghetto type situation, using up their savings instead of earning money and not making any long-term plans. Because not many people can live like that, at least not for very long. But the Israelites wanted to live for themselves, to do things what they had to do to survive, hiding away, rejecting the Babylonians. It's fine, because we're going home soon. Our God will come and save us. But God said, seek the peace and prosperity of Babylon. Become part of it. Because if Babylon prospers, so will you. So this sermon series is about our front lines. And last week we talked about where our front lines were. Places where we meet each other, other people, away from church. So we talked about work, our neighbourhood. Had conversations today about the cancer ward. This morning we talked about somebody in her front garden. Your family, at the school gate, the Pilates class. And we were talking at Ladies Group on Wednesday on a Facebook page. These are all our front lines where we talk to people and interact with people who are not Christians. The front line for the Israelites was their interaction with the Babylonians. But they didn't want to do that, and they held themselves back because they were living as people waiting to leave. But are all of our front lines easy? Are we happy to be there? Do we feel that we are where God wants us to be? Or are we just waiting to move on? Are you in the wrong job? Is it boring? You don't fit in? You don't feel appreciated? Is work stressful all the time? Are you constantly applying for other jobs, but nothing's coming up? Maybe God's telling you something. Do you live in the street or the block of flats, where everybody around you is just what I suppose the world would call the undesirables, you know, and you don't want to interact with them because they're really, really tough? Or do the people you meet on a regular basis, do they really annoy you? And all you want to do is move house, but you've never had any offers for your house. Are you in a family that hates your faith and constantly undermines you? And you're obviously doing things that challenge your faith. And when the easiest thing for you to do is to make excuses for reasons why you haven't been to visit them recently. So are you the parent of a child with special needs who hurts the other children in class? And you know that the parents at the gate whisper about you, and that makes it really difficult for you to talk to them. And you say, God, how can I engage with these people? I want to hide away and be somewhere else. They might think I'm a bit snooty, a bit stuck up because I'm not interacting, but actually, I'm scared. I don't know how to get to you. And the longer you stay in your little ghetto, the harder it is to climb the walls and come out. So am I saying that it's wrong to look for a new job or try to move house? Not at all. God tells us to push at doors, and he will open the door. In Matthew 7, he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. So it doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to go somewhere else. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to push doors and look for different ways. But it might well be that the door God wants you to push is actually right in front of you. And you're at your front line, but actually you haven't even opened the door and you're not going in. You're staying this side of it and you're not interacting. So if you're looking for alternatives, fair enough. But you should be interacting in your front line and looking for the prosperity of it, even if you're looking to move as well, because it might well be that God's saying, actually, no, I want you here. If God wants to take you out of a situation, he will. And we know that, and we know that he does that. But God also says in 1 Corinthians, there's no test or temptation that comes our way that's beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He will never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you through it. And if we say, but if they were friendlier, I would spend more time with them. If I didn't feel like an outsider, I would mention my faith. If I knew more about God, if I'd been to Bible college, if I had a stronger faith, I could do this. And actually, it was rather poignant that Sadhu asked me to preach on this. I had a manager at work who was very efficient, but it was clear that she didn't like me. She didn't like the adaptations they'd had to make at work because of my disability. And it was quite a difficult situation. And 18 months ago, I was given a chance to move to a different team, still doing the job that I'm doing, and then a bit of a promotion as well. And I have loved it. Apart from the fact that my new manager is my twin. Literally, people ask us if we're sisters. It's quite spooky, really. We have kids the same age. Yeah, it's quite strange. But she's very supportive and encouraging. But NHS politics, which those of us who are in the NHS absolutely love, got in the way. And despite the fact that I'm actually excelling in the job that I'm doing, the changes have been reversed and I have to go back. So I've got one, 2 more weeks in my current role, and then I have to go back to my old job at a lower grade with my old manager. And that's actually really tough, and that's going to be really challenging for me. So I've been the perfect Christian woman in this situation, praying for my managers. Have I? Heck. I have been angry, I've cried, I've gossiped, I've moaned, I felt dejected and didn't want to put any effort in, like the really good Christian that I am. I'm not proud of the way I've interacted at my front line. But my choice for the beginning of July is either to stay apart from that situation or to embrace it and live out God's plan for me, to work for the peace and prosperity of my team, to use the skills that I developed over the last 18 months to enhance that team, to pray for my manager and for my work, and to bring God into my workplace. It's going to be tough when my heart is going to be like the Israelites, screaming to go back to my lovely, comfortable job. But maybe I need to get God's perspective and not my own. Maybe God wants us to be exactly where we are right now and embrace the situation. The disciples, they backed off from their front line big time when Jesus went on the cross. And then the Holy Spirit came. And it was amazing. You know, they were out. They were talking to everybody. Corrie ten Boom, her front line was a concentration camp for a long, long time. In comparison, my front line's not that scary. The way to follow God's plan is to find out what God's plan is. And maybe his plan will happen when we step out in faith and interact in our front lines. Now, I'm not talking about setting up a preaching box in your local group or taking over the tannoy at work and joining everybody in Shine, Jesus, Shine. Or, and I'm not admitting anything, and it was 20 years ago, removing the copies of Watchtower from the patient waiting room and replacing them with more suitable reading. It's interacting, it's making friends, it's being there for people. It's starting with prayer. Join the parent-teacher group, help in school, go to social events. Help that noisy neighbour with her shopping when you see her struggling. Being proactive and not reactive to the situation. If talking to someone is a real struggle for you and it's too much of a step, start by smiling at them every time you see them. Hold the door when they're coming past. God will help you build it up. And we say, but God, are we sure that you're going to be there? And God says, I promise, I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And again, Corrie ten Boom says, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. God says in Ephesians, we have an acceptance that can never be questioned. In 1 Peter, an inheritance that can never be lost. In Hebrews, a hope that can never be disappointed. A salvation that can never be cancelled. In John, a joy that can never be diminished and a peace that can never be disturbed. With promises like that, we can be confident in our own front lines. And of course, we will get it wrong. We will say the wrong thing. We will react in the wrong way. But we get back up and we try again and we pray and we keep on praying. So God wants us to work for the peace and prosperity of our front lines so that we too will prosper. And Jeremiah, in this letter, is talking about a different point of view, God's view as opposed to the human view. So God has a plan. So where are you in exile? Are you praying for that place or are you praying to be released? Are you doing your job but not engaging? Or are you working to prosper your company? Are you engaging with the people who are different from you? Are you existing at your front line? Or are you flourishing? And God says, stay and work for the peace and prosperity of your front line. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen.